May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We've been hanging out the last couple of days in Hebrews chapter 4. So let me just read it to you again, beginning in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. If we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, or one who has been tempted in all things just like we have been, yet without sin. Let us therefore continually, as a lifestyle, with total openness, come to the throne of grace and draw near to his presence, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Just briefly, as a reminder, set the stage, is that these scriptures are saying to us that God sees everything about us. He sees them clearly. We're laid bare before his eyes. He even knows the intentions of our heart, not just the thoughts, but the very intentions. And so he knows if we're even thinking one thing, but our motives and intentions are not good, he knows that. He knows it all. And yet, he has sympathy for us in this broken and fallen world and in the struggle we have with sin, because even though he never sinned, he was tempted in every way like unto us. He passed through the heavens. That's not this way, but this way, and came to earth and allowed himself to be tempted so that we would know that he understands fully what we're going through and what we're dealing with. And in light of that, in light of us now knowing he has great sympathy, he can understand. He didn't just love me from heaven. He stepped down onto earth and experienced the things of the earth in a fallen world so that we would feel comfortable to draw near. Again, as we've said the last couple of days, the word draw near there is written in such a way it means just continue as a lifestyle, constantly drawing near. And so with us and with confidence, and the word confidence means be fully open. And so as we come to him with honesty and being fully open in light of our own struggles and temptation and even failure, we're not going to find a God who condemns us or rejects us, but one who sympathizes with us because he understands what it is to be tempted. And he also understands our need, therefore, for mercy when we fail. And as the Son of Man, he understands the formula for victory. That scripture in verse 16, where everything kind of leads to, let us therefore draw near, being fully open, to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I've said this, especially in the last 6 months or so, a number of times. Last night in Fort Walton, we spoke this too, is that we often think of grace as mercy. But grace and mercy are two different things. As a matter of fact, grace is the mother of mercy. But they're not the same. He says we come. Grace is much bigger. We come, we're to draw near continually, to receive mercy, and to find grace in time of need. You see, mercy is that part of grace, and again, we get confused. We think grace is just that, God being merciful, being patient with us. Often you'll hear people say, I just thank God for his grace, that he forgives me. Well, that's just one expression of his grace. But grace covers it all. Those of us who've been around recently, we know that we've been going after 2 Corinthians 9:8 again and again. And the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace. Well, mercy is just one of the all grace. There's a lot more expressions of grace, the free activity and favor of God in our lives. Mercy's one. Thank God for that part of his grace. But the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to us, that we always, having all sufficiency in everything, may abound to everything we put our hands to do. And so that scripture in Hebrews 4:16 says this, in light of the struggle, in light of those verses before, that God understands what we go through. He understands the very thoughts, the intentions of our heart. He sees everything clearly, and he welcomes us to continually come before him when we fail. Because even though Jesus was tempted in every way, like us, but without sin, he never failed. But we do fail from time to time, don't we? And he says, and when you do, it's not time for you to hide in a corner or to let shame control you or to keep you separated from me. That's the activity of the enemy. He said, it's then you draw near with boldness, with confidence, being fully open and receive mercy. Not earn mercy, not deserve mercy. Mercy is an act of grace. Forgiveness is an act of grace. It's not something you earn. You don't wait to kind of get your act together or prove to God that you really are really sorry this time. Not like the last time, but really, 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 really sorry this time. I used to live my Christian life like that. When I first started walking with the Lord, and when I would blow it again, I would then come to God and plead with him, promising him things, extravagant things, as proof that I really meant it this time. And that he would please put his billy club up and just, like, forgive me. Because I know what I deserve was for him to wrap me around the head and reject me. And so I'd make all these sacrifices to God. I promise I'll pray more. I promise I'll read my Bible more. I promise I'll witness to somebody every day. Offering sacrifices to God as if I could earn his mercy. We all kind of do that, don't we? Every altar call they ever had in church when I first started walking with the Lord, I went to every one of them. No matter what it is you're supposed to have done, no matter how sorry you're supposed to be, I was always down there. Because I wanted God to have mercy on me. But the scripture says we receive mercy. He's already accomplished mercy for us. It's a part of grace. He's already purchased mercy for us. All the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. He bore your sin and my sin and was punished on our behalf. He paid the penalty for our crime so that we don't have to fear. God may discipline us, but he's never going to condemn us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So one of the real tests of a person who's begun to understand the finished work of Christ on the cross is that when you blow it, you draw near. And receive, not earn, but receive. So if you receive something, it's already yours. You just have to receive it. And receive mercy in the midst of our failures. It's one of the most important things I've ever learned. Because as I've said the last couple of days, what the enemy's really after, what he really desires, what he really, really wants, is to keep us separated from God. To make us feel separated in our guilt and our condemnation and shame. That somehow we don't deserve to talk to him, or that he's so ashamed of us or embarrassed with us or disappointed in us that there's a distance between us. That's the enemy's activity. Because as I said yesterday, the enemy knows that only us coming to his presence again and again for forgiveness and for grace to help in time of need, which we'll talk about tomorrow, he knows that only there are we transformed and become more and more like Christ. And so he wants to keep us from feeling like we can draw near. But we can draw near when you failed. And if you failed this morning, and there's a good chance that all of us probably did at some level in the attitude, maybe you didn't act it out. Maybe you didn't actually say it. But that verse 13 says he judges the very thoughts, he pierces and he sees. Not judges, but he sees the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. So if this morning you said to somebody, you were really nice to them, how you doing this morning? I'm really glad, how good to see you this morning. But in your heart you're thinking, I wish you'd fall off a cliff. I really can't stand you. I remember what you did to me. Those are the thoughts and intentions of our heart. When you did something nice for somebody, but you'd really like to slap them, that's the intentions of our heart. You see, God wants to transform us from the inside out. And if that's you today, or if you actually did say the thing, you may get tired of telling God you're sorry, but he's never tired of hearing it. Because he knows only in his presence receiving forgiveness can you be changed. And so we come boldly, confident that we can receive mercy. You don't have to plead with, you don't have to bargain with, you don't have to make extravagant promises and offer sacrifices. Just receive mercy. You say, Bishop, it can't be that simple. That's what the devil's saying. Jesus made it simple. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.